Well, good morning again. As we continue our study in the book of Hebrews, I'm just kind of week by week just overwhelmed by the wonder and the joy of all that there is in this book. And I trust today will be a blessing as well. We're in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 23 to 38. The passage reads like this: "It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices. But the heavenly things themselves are better sacrifices than these things. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face the judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." That's a word of prayer. Lord, speak through this passage of Scripture as you have through many occasions, and again, just encourage us and remind us of the absolute necessity of hanging on to what this passage has to teach. We just open ourselves to your leading. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. When I was growing up, I had a very good friend. His name was Stuart. He lived two houses away from me. He was about a year younger than I was, not much, or is about a year younger than I, as we've kind of lost touch over the years. But age didn't really matter, because we were the only two English-speaking boys of that age in the street of about 15 Afrikaans boys. We did a lot of things together. One of those things we used to do was we would go to drive-in. Now, I know a lot of you don't even know what a driving is because you don't have it. A driving is movies that you go to in your car, and you sit in your car and you watch the movie on a big screen in front of you. And we used to do this about twice a month with his granny. His granny's name was Mrs. Easton, and oftentimes when his parents went out, she would take us to the movies. We saw all kinds of movies. Sometimes we would choose, and sometimes she would choose. After all, she was paying. I'll never forget one movie she took us to. In the midst of apartheid South Africa, because this was the late 60s, early 70s, we went to see a movie called To Kill a Mockingbird, based on the book of Harper Lee. It's a famous book. I'm sure you know it. The basic storyline is a courtroom drama involving a white advocate called Atticus Finch. He's played in the movie by an actor called Gregory Peck, and he won an Oscar for it. Defending a Negro or a black man called Tom Robinson, played by Brock Peters, who's accused of raping a white girl, Mayella Yule. It's set in the 1930s in Alabama, in the southern part of the United States of America. Racial USA. The image of a white man defending a black man was not something you saw a lot of in the 1960s and early 70s. I'm proud to say that the only other white people I saw defending black people were my own parents. My parents brought up us up in a home of non-racialism. That image of that advocate defending that accused person, friends, left an impression on my mind. It is one of the few memories I have of movies from my youth. The only time I ever had to appear before a magistrate to plead my case was to get a very high speeding fine reduced. On the day my father was diagnosed with cancer, my mother called me home for a family meeting. On my way home, I was driving very fast and received a very big fine. It was about half a month's salary. It was more than I could afford. Well, I had to go to court. I didn't have an advocate. The policeman wouldn't listen to my story. He just said, go and see the magistrate, and the magistrate will sort you out. I didn't have an advocate or a lawyer. And let me tell you, that experience was nerve-wracking. Now, why am I telling you these stories? Friends, the simple reason is that one day, all of us will stand before a judge. And you better have the best advocate you can find. For this, friends, this judge doesn't need any evidence to be presented before him. This judge, friends, knows everything you have ever done. Isn't that scary? You see, in this section, the writer of the book of Hebrews shows his audience that whatever they were doing in trying to fulfill the law of Moses was a failure. Because he says their courtroom is only a sample of the real one to come. And because they and us still need to face the ultimate judge, friends, we better have the best advocate we can find. So I've called my message today, Reasons Why Jesus is the Only Advocate You Will Ever Need. Firstly, Jesus is the only advocate you will ever need because he pled our case in the highest court. Verse 24 says, Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven himself now to appear for us in God's presence. In our legal system, there are four levels of courts. At the lower levels, they call them the lower courts, you have district or regional magistrate courts, you've got the small claims court, you've got speciality courts like the divorce or the military or labor or electoral courts. They're all kind of more or less on the same level and they all serve a particular interest. Above them are what are called the high courts. If you're not satisfied with the judgment that you find in one of those lower courts, you then go to the high courts and they're all over the place. Well, if you're not satisfied with the judgment that you get at the high court, you then go to the appeal court. And on top of them is what is called the Supreme Court of Appeal. In many ways, the Supreme Court of Appeal is one of the highest courts in the land. If there is a Supreme Court of Appeal kind of passes a judgment that you can't appeal any further, that's where you're stuck. But on top of that, in our country, is what is called the Constitutional Court. Friends, the Constitutional Court is the highest office in the land. Even the Parliament and the President must submit themselves to the Constitutional Court, for the Constitutional Court is the court which judges that which governs all of us. But there is a higher court. There is a court that's even higher than the Constitutional Court. In fact, it's so much higher, it isn't even on this earth. And friend, that is the court that Jesus appears in on our behalf. Jesus doesn't mess around with the lower courts. He doesn't mess around with the high courts or the appeal courts or the constitutional court, friends. Jesus appears in the court in heaven. Secondly, Jesus is the only advocate you will ever need because he alone has the credentials you need to enter. Verse 25 says, and verse 26 says, not only did he enter heaven to offer himself again, again, and again, the way the high priest enters the holy, most holy place every year with blood that is not his own, then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. You see, friends, Jesus has the credentials to enter this court. You can't just go to court. A lawyer, not every lawyer can enter a court. You need to be an advocate. You need to have the credentials to enter the court effectively. As we've already learned in our study of the book of Hebrews, the high priests and all the priests, friends, first had to offer a sacrifice to cleanse themselves for their own sin before they could do anything on behalf of themselves. But friends, not even they can enter into this highest court. Jesus is the only one qualified to enter into the highest court. This is what we read back in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. It says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. You see, friends, nothing unholy can enter the presence of God. Therefore, only Jesus is qualified. Only he is without sin. 1 John 1 verse 8 tells us, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Friends, only Jesus can claim to be without sin. Only he has the credentials to enter. Thirdly, Jesus is the only advocate you will ever need because he's already pleaded our case. Depends on you whether you're English or American. But it says in verse 26, now he has appeared once for all. Friends, Jesus has already appeared. Friends, one day we will all stand before God, our judge. Listen to what Revelation 20 verses 11 through 15 says. And I saw a great white throne, and him who seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Friends, that's all of us. Another book was opened, which was the book of life. The dead were judged according to what was done to them as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he has done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name is not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Friends, why don't we need to fear this appearance? Because, friends, Jesus has already pled our case. Listen to what Revelation 7 verse 8 says. He says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. Friends, why don't we need to fear this? Friends, because when we appear, what we will hear is this word, and the word simply is forgiven. Forgiven, not guilty. Forgiven. Friends, what a great encouragement. Jesus has pled our case. We don't need to hear all the details and all the punishment due to us, because the only word we will hear, friends, is forgiven. Friends, Jesus is the only advocate you will need. Number four, Jesus is the only advocate you will ever need, because, friends, he has destroyed the power of the law. It says this in verse 26, when Jesus would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world, but now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. I want you to notice, first of all, that the word sin is singular and not plural. Doesn't say he did away with sins. He says he did away with sin. Most commentaries make the point, and I agree wholeheartedly, friends, that Jesus destroys the principle of sin itself. Where does sin, how does sin appear? The Apostle Paul, in the letter to the Romans, makes this point that without the law, we would not understand the sin. So you see, friends, that's why I said Jesus destroyed the power of the law. For the friends, the law points out when we are breaking the law. So, for example, let me give you an illustration. A couple of years ago, we went to Germany. And in Germany, on the roads between the towns, they've got this wonderful thing called the Autobahn. In the Autobahn, there is a sign which has got 120 written on it, but the 120 is crossed out, and there isn't another one afterwards. Because, friends, on the Autobahn, there is no speed limit. You can go as fast as you like. In fact, you're not allowed to travel slowly on the Autobahn. But you see, that's what the law does. When it says 120, you better obey it. Because if you get caught not obeying it, you're in big trouble in Germany. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 4, verse 13. It says, it was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promises that would be heir to the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by the law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Friends, Jesus came to cancel the power of the law. That little phrase says Jesus to do away with is the Greek word atathesis. And it literally means it's been abolished or cancelled. Friends, the law, the power of the law, has no longer any power. Sin has no more power, friends, because Jesus has destroyed the power of the law, which tells us we've sinned. Only an advocate can do that. An advocate can show that a law, friends, is unjust. Number five. Jesus is the only advocate you will ever need, because as our advocate, he's also paid our penalty. What an advocate. Verse 8 says, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins, this time it's plural, of many. What a great thought this. The Greek word for the phrase to take away is anapero. And it literally means he has picked up our burdens and carried them himself. Friends, Jesus has taken your burden. When you lay your burden at the foot of the cross, friends, you don't ever need to pick it up, friends, again, because Jesus takes that guilt upon himself and he carries it. He pays the penalty and has paid the penalty for your sin. Friend, you don't need to feel burdened about your sin anymore, because Jesus has paid that penalty. Number 6. Jesus is the only advocate you will ever need, because he restores why we were created. It says in verse 28, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he'll appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. I think we all know the name Arnold Schwarzenegger, don't we? Back in 1984, he played in a movie called The Terminator. And it had a catchphrase, and its catchphrase was, I'll be back. I once heard a joke of a whole lot of actors were sitting together, and they were talking about doing a movie of all the famous musicians. And Arnold Schwarzenegger said, I'll be Bach. Oh, sorry, it's a weak one. Arnold Schwarzenegger, I read a little phrase this last week. It says this, Arnold Schwarzenegger made it famous, but Jesus said it first, I'll be back. But friends, here's the wonderful thing. When Jesus comes back, friends, he's coming to take us who believe in him to be with God forever. You see, God, friends, created us to be with him. That's what the Garden of Eden was all about, friends. And Jesus has come to restore that which we were created for. He's come to bring salvation. He's come to bring us, to take us, to be with God forever. Friends, what an advocate. What a job he's done. Finally, Jesus is the only advocate you'll ever need, because, friends, you better have one. Verse 24 says, Christ appeared for us in God's presence. He didn't go there for himself. He went there for us. Why? Because in verse 27, friends, it says this, just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. Friends, Jesus doesn't appear in heaven for our sake. He did it for us. The passage is clear, friends. We will all face judgment. You need an advocate. You better have one, friends, because you're going to face the judge. You better have one, and Jesus is the only one you'll ever need. So what have we learned? Jesus, friends, is the only advocate you'll ever need, because he pled our case in the highest court. He alone has the credentials to enter. He has already pled our case. He has destroyed the power of the law. He is our advocate, and he has paid our penalty. He has restored while we were created, and you better have one, friend. Don't mess around. This is serious business. You're going to go to court one day, friend. It's not a court you may have to enter on earth, but one day you'll enter it in heaven. Are you ready? Have you got somebody to plead your case? I know who has pled mine. Do you know who has pled yours? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you've carried my burden. Thank you that you've declared me innocent. Thank you, Lord, that you've stood before the Father in my place. Lord, I pray for those who don't know you as advocate. I pray, Lord, that they won't meet you as judge. I pray that even now they will turn and ask you to plead their case and to receive what you have to offer them. In Jesus' name, for his glory, I pray that. Amen. Friend, you have an advocate. That advocate wants to speak on your behalf. Please give him this authority. Give him the power to speak on your behalf. Amen.